listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream.
Coming up this Saturday, it's one of my favorite days of the year when we talk about sports. The first Saturday in May, this is what we get. We always get a marquee boxing matchup, which we have. Canelo Alvarez is going to return to the ring this Saturday. He's one of the top draws right now in sports. Even if you don't like the matchup against John Ryder, you will be somewhat intrigued to see what Boxing Cash Cow does this Saturday night. We also have the NBA playoffs, and we can't forget about one of the best American traditions, the Kentucky Derby. This Saturday. And it's a Kentucky Derby without Bob Baffert. Been a long time since we've been able to say that. We're going to talk about the field of the Derby. We'll break up the monotony of the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball talk. And we will talk horse racing for the next 15 or so minutes. Joining us over the phone to do that, we have a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein, who has joined us for at least a decade to talk horse racing on this show. Steve, we're gearing up for Saturday, and to be honest with you, it's quite refreshing to not have to talk about a controversy surrounding Bob Baffert or one of his horses.
Right. Yeah, it's refreshing. Well, first off, thank you for having me back on again.
Always.
And it is refreshing to have the Bob Baffert stigma kind of patented away from this race. Of course, Bob Baffert was suspended, a national suspension of Bob Baffert's barn in several states, obviously, throughout the country. He's been able to have some of that suspension uplifted a little bit in other states, but not in Kentucky and not in New York, which ironically enough will be the host of the Belmont State coming up next month. But a drug positive came back on one of his horses in the Kentucky Derby 2 years ago, and that led to a long, long series of litigation, which eventually then did lead to him being suspended for a full year by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. So Bob Baffert will not be allowed to run this weekend in the Kentucky Derby nor the Kentucky Oaks coming up tomorrow. So a number of his horses from earlier this year were transferred around to different barns. He was still winning races at other racetracks, but he wasn't allowed to run them under his own name in Kentucky, so he's moved some horses to other barns, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but it is refreshing not to have that stigma, that cloud hanging over it a little bit.
Okay, so if we're not talking about Bob Baffert, I don't think there's any question. Next on that list would be Todd Pletcher, and right now he has the betting favorite in the Kentucky Derby. So before we talk about the betting favorite, I gotta ask you, why is it so much more enjoyable for us to talk about Todd Pletcher than Bob Baffert?
Because Todd Pletcher doesn't have the aura of invincibility that Bob Baffert had. Baffert is this generation's Wayne Lucas. Back in the 80s and early 90s, Wayne Lucas won everything. He won the Derby. He won the Preakness. He won the Kentucky Oaks. He won the Breeders' Cups. He won all those races. Then as Lucas got older and became a little bit less prominent on the scene, Bob Baffert took over. And then he won all the Derbies and all the Preaknesses. But with Bob Baffert, then came some of that aura of, you know, he was a little bit too proud and he was a little bit too big and he was his face was everywhere. He was popularized and he was immortalized by everyone, justifiably so to some degree. But that's the reason why we heard so much about that, was because he won everything. Pletcher, on the other hand, didn't win everything. Pletcher won the Breeders' Cups and he won turf races and he had good two-year-olds, but he couldn't win the Derby until the Street Sense came around. We didn't have a Todd Pletcher Derby winner. He ran 18 horses without ever winning a Derby. So it was he finally did it. He was the trainer who couldn't win the Derby. He is now what we have is Steve Asmussen. He's the new guy. Steve Asmussen, who's a Hall of Fame trainer. He's won everything except the Derby. He can't win that one. He won the Kentucky Oaks with Rachel Alexandra. He's won other multiple races, but he can't win the Derby. He's got a horse running this weekend, but he's the reason you hear more about Todd Pletcher and it seems more enjoyable to talk about Todd Pletcher is we had so many years of him coming up short in the Derby.
Okay, let's talk about his horse Forte, the most accomplished three-year-old in the Derby, 6 wins and 7 starts, I believe 5 graded stake wins, if I'm not mistaken. So there's no question that he is the number one betting odd in the Kentucky Derby. The problem is, can he develop a pace? That means positioning, right? That means a clean trip is going to be critical for this horse. 6 wins and 7 starts, 5 of those graded stake wins, obviously led by Todd Pletcher. This is why people view him as the favorite.
No question. What he did in the Florida Derby, and we'll get more specific on that race in a moment, what he did in that race was incredible. But his entire career has really been just a step up every single time. You mentioned the Breeders' Futurity. You mentioned him winning that race back at Keeneland. He was the two-year-old champion. So he's obviously got a lot of qualifications. Breeders' Cup Juvenile champions rarely do well, though, in the Kentucky Derby. Only two in the history of the Breeders' Cup, only two two-year-old champions ever turned that around into being Kentucky Derby winners. One of them, ironically enough, was Street Sense, trained by Todd Pletcher, who we mentioned a moment ago. So it's there's a couple of different angles on Forte, but what he did in the Florida Derby is what really stands out to me as being why he's the morning line favorite in the Derby. Gulfstream Park is an oddly configured racetrack in that the run to the first turn is fairly short. In other words, the amount of time that a horse takes to break before going into that first turn in a mile and an eighth race at Gulfstream Park is not that long a turn. So if you're more inside, you have an advantage. If you're drawn in post 1 through 6, you have a little bit of an advantage. Forte in the Florida Derby was drawn all the way out in post 11, which he might have well been in Siberia compared to being an inside draw. He still gets the trip. He runs down Maj and Cyclone Mischief in deep stretch to win the Florida Derby by a length. He rallies on the outside. He gets the job done. He was wide every step of the way and still won that race. That's what's so impressive about his win in the Florida Derby. Winning the Florida Derby is a great accomplishment. Winning it from that post position, you have to kind of give him a little bit extra attention because of how he did it and where he did it from. So for me, Forte is the logical morning line favorite. However, there are some questions as far as his pedigree is concerned. His buyer numbers, if you go by speed figures, have actually dropped off a little bit in the last couple of races. He ran a 100 buyer speed figure when he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in his last start as a two-year-old back in November. But his two races this year, 98 and 95. Well, that's not that big a difference, but it can be in a situation like this. And you mentioned the pace of the race. Unlike other derbies where we've seen one or two horses that are these breakneck speed horses that go out and set these incredibly fast fractions, this year's derby is a more controlled pace. There isn't one dyed-in-the-wool front runner who everyone's going to have to run down. I don't think this is going to be a breakneck pace. I don't think you're going to see a 23 flat opening quarter. I think you're going to see more of a controlled pace at about 5 or 6 horses kind of on or near the lead. That makes it difficult for a horse who's going to have to come from off the pace to get around all those horses. It doesn't give them as big a target to shoot at, and it does compromise a horse that's coming from off the pace, because how does he get around horses who start to back up? There's going to be more of them as he gets into that far turn. So I think for Forte, yes, deserved morning line favorite, a couple of question marks along the way.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein as we talk about the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. Steve, I want to talk about Kingsborn, who is a sleeper right now at 12-1. He's only raced 3 times, but he's won them all. That's pretty intriguing.
It is intriguing, and again, Todd Pletcher, here we are talking about him once again. The only problem I have with him is the races that he comes out of. He broke his maiden at Gulfstream Park going a mile, did it from an inside post. Again, that goes back to that inside post angle there. He had a perfect trip that day. He then beat an optional claiming field in his next start at Tampa Bay Downs. Then he came back and won the Louisiana Derby. However, he did not race as a two-year-old. There are only two horses in the history of the Kentucky Derby that have ever won the Derby after having not raced as a two-year-old. One of them was back in 1886, I believe it was, and the other one was Justify a couple of years ago. This is a tall order, I think, for Kingsborn, but he does have some speed. He is lightly raced, so he hasn't been worn down by the attrition of racing. So he is intriguing from that regard, but he's not one I'm going to be looking at.
Steve, let's talk about a UAE Derby winner who's looking to become the first Japan-based horse to win the Kentucky Derby. It's never happened, and for a reason. And you and I talked about this during this last commercial break. You don't believe it happens on Saturday either.
No, and for me, you know, there's certain angles that you can say, oh, well, that angle's just never been tested before, or this horse can do this because the other one didn't do it. Well, this one can. Okay, that might be the case. Derma Sotogake, I'm never going to say his name right.
Derma, I think I got this. Derma Sotogake. Derma Sotogake. Say that five times fast. That's his name. Derma Sotogake.
I'm just going to call him number 17 in your program. It's going to be easier. So here's the thing. No horse that has won the UAE Derby in the, I think, 11 years or 12, no, no, I'm sorry, 18. 18 years that it's been run. And then there's a deal between Churchill Downs and the United Arab Emirates where the race is run, where the UAE Derby is run. It's run at a track that used to be called Maidan Race. Of course, I forget what it's called now, but that's where they run the, it is Maidan. It is Maidan now. And for the last 20 or so years, there's been a deal between the Maidan people and the Churchill Downs people that that horse gets an automatic bid into the Kentucky Derby. It was a way to make the Derby more internationally appealing for European-based horses and Japanese-based horses. Okay, that's fine. In the 18 years that it's been run, I will ask you, Mr. Beth Buscarini, how many horses that have won the UAE Derby have won the Kentucky Derby?
Zero.
How many of them have actually finished first, second, or third in the Kentucky Derby?
Zero.
That is the correct answer. Tell them when he's won, Johnny. None. Not a single one. They've never lit the board of the Kentucky Derby. And every year they get that. Every single year we're told the same thing. Well, this is the year it'll happen. This is the year it'll happen. This is not the year it's going to happen for a reason. Because it just doesn't happen. Shipping a horse from the middle of nowhere, honestly, from the middle of nowhere. He arrived at Churchill Downs on April 18. He has been in this country precisely 2.5 weeks now. Shipping a horse is not like you and I getting on a plane, and then you go take an hour or two nap in the middle of the plane flight, and you get in, you're jet-lagged for a day or two. It's 1,000 times worse for a racehorse. It's 1,000 times worse for an animal of any kind, of any substantial weight and proportion, to make that trip over. He will not win the Kentucky Derby. Is he good enough? Maybe, but not on this day, not under these conditions. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. For whatever reason, these horses don't transfer their form from Europe, from the Middle East, to this country. And as far as I'm concerned, the fact that he's 10-1 on the morning line and is probably going to receive quite a bit of betting attention, you can have him. You can have all of him at a shorter price than what he should be based on the history and the angle that no horse of these horses that have come in from the Middle East have ever done a damn thing running in the Kentucky Derby.
Steve, last year, I think the result of last year's Derby, where Rich Strike comes in, pulls off a stunner. He was an 80-1 long shot. Obviously, people, they get the itch for that now, right? I mean, that is such a rarity. I don't believe we see it again. In fact, if I'm looking at my picks, as deep as I'm going to go is Kings Barnes at 12-1, as we talked about, just because it's intriguing enough to me that he's never lost. I do believe that Forte wins the Kentucky Derby, but if someone is just dying for a long shot, they're dying for that Rich Strike who's close to an 80-1 long shot, who has the best opportunity as a long shot horse to come out on top on Saturday?
I'll give you a couple of names to look at, but you're right. Going back to that original point, it's the Mega Millions thing, right? Whenever the lottery gets up to like $1 billion, everyone starts to play. Oh, well, this is the time that I'll win it with your lousy $1 quick pick that you know isn't going to win. But the only reason you play it is because it's up to $1 billion. There's two horses that I would kind of look at. If you're looking for, you know, lightning to strike, if you're looking for that crazy horse that absolutely has no business in the race, but for whatever reason shows up in the race, two horses I would look at. Number 11, Disarm, comes in for trainer Steve Asmussen. We mentioned him a moment ago. This is a horse who, again, Steve Asmussen is that trainer. He's never won the Kentucky Derby. But he didn't run that bad. He didn't lose a lot of ground when losing the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland last time out. He's only won one time from five career starts, but he has Joel Rosario. He's a multiple graded stakes winning jockey. He will be close to the early lead. He won't be too far off the early lead. He's not going to be a million lengths out of it. He's one that I would look at just briefly, maybe, as that crazy, you know, horse that doesn't belong in there. And if you're looking for something that's a little more I don't know. I don't even know if logical is the right word, but there's the horse that we mentioned a moment ago. He got into the race because of a scratch of a horse. The third place finisher in the San Junipero Derby, a horse by the name of Skinner. He comes in for trainer John Charest. Horse racing fans will know John Charest as the trainer of Zenyatta, arguably one of the greatest race mares of all time. Skinner comes into the race on the third place finish. Again, he's only won one time from six career starts, but he was only beaten a half length in the San Junipero Derby last time out. He'll be not too far off the early lead, but if you're looking for a couple of angles, you got the John Charest Zenyatta angle, and then you've got the Steve Asmussen needs to win a Derby angle with Disarm. Those numbers, 9 for Skinner and 11 Disarm in your program.
All right, give me your trifecta.
I'm fascinated by number 14, Angel of Empire. He's the horse for me in this race. His victory last time out, the Arkansas Derby, was absolutely devastating. He's got an amazing turn of foot. He can handle any kind of speed-type pace condition. I don't think he'll be too far out of it, but I don't think his late rally will run into a wall of horses. I think he's going to be mid-pack early. He's got the pedigree for it. He's got the barn for it. I think he's set to run another gigantic race. He's 8-1 in the morning lunch. You're going to get some value there. So I'm going to pick number 14, Angel of Empire, on top. My second horse is going to be the 15. That's Forte coming in for trainer Todd Fletcher for all the reasons that we mentioned a moment ago. And I am going to use number 5, Tap It Trice, has won 4 of his last 5 starts. He's getting better all the time. Will be close to the early lead, not too far back. And I think his late run will be effective. I think his ability to be able to hang in with that early pace and make that late rally will keep him in the, it will keep him close. So 14-15-5 for me in Saturday's Kentucky Derby.
I can't disagree with 2. I still like King's Barnes. I really do. I think this is a sleeper at 12-1. Like I said, to me, he's one of the most intriguing horses. I'm going to go Forte 1. I like Angel of Empire coming in 2. He's starting right next to Forte. Give me King's Barnes to sneak in there and grab the third spot. Not a lot of difference.
Yeah, and he's the number 6 horse in your program, and you're going to get some value on, with that horse at 12-1 because he'll be the overlooked Pletcher horse. He'll be the horse of Pletcher's not named Forte that's not going to get all that attention at the dope board.
He's Steve Bordstein joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on, and of course, where can we find more of your work?
Starting up with a new newspaper here in the Four Corners region called the Tri-City Record. It's being published by the folks who do the Durango Herald here in this area, working for Ballantyne Publishing. But in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at DTS Bordstein. That's DTS Bordstein on Twitter. And you can also check out my work at DurangoHerald.com.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
Always great to get Steve Bordstein on. Great horse racing mind. Always an entertaining conversation. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll talk NBA. Big game 2 tonight. Is it do or die for the Warriors? Technically, no. But maybe, yes. Not a great road team. We'll talk about that next when we return.